The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Optimizing technology and media as a minister. I'm going to be building on all that we have heard since morning. And this time, it appears we want to talk about how we can improve our effectiveness and our efficiency as minister of God's word. How we can take advantage of what already exists and what we might not need to pay so much for. And then we'll be able to reach more people and get better results. I say thank God for fathers. In the course of this week, I think on Thursday, one of our fathers, Daddy Onoyemi, invited me that I should follow him to a program. And his bosom friend was also retiring from a professor of medicine. And he asked me to kindly follow him. So we went together. Now, when we got to the place and we saw the, I saw the banner, I was wondering what would a professor of medicine say about this, the validity lecture. And the man titled it, Shadows of the Unseen, Echoes of the Unheard, and A Chest of Treasures. Now, I want to bring something out of that story because at the end of the day, he mentioned some of his work that he felt were very profound that were never published. And that is what the part titled The Shadows of the Unseen. And then he talked about some of the things he wished he could change within about 4 decades of working as a professor of medicine, and yet he couldn't change it. Just like Daddy Ajibade told us the other time that when he came back, he wanted to implement something at the faculty, and they told him, Farebale, that might not work here. And this man too had the same zeal. He came back from UK, the one-year mandatory requirement for them, and he wanted to implement something. Now, it's something that all of us have experienced. And what he wanted to implement is to reduce the waiting time that patients use in order to see a consultant. So he said that when he came, he wanted it to be digital. And that is where I'm going. That's how he's related to this message. He wanted it to be digital, such that people can register and the consultant can know who he'll be seeing every day in advance. And he can determine how many he's seeing and prepare ahead and all that. He said, but because of the ancient landmark that the medical record officer apology to you, that might be here. That is because the medical record officer will always say, come by 6 a.m. Kale wakes note. And somebody will have to now travel a day before the appointment such that he can get to the hospital. It happens in this place too. So that the person can get to the hospital as early as 6 a.m. or if possible 5:30. Then they can look for the case notes and so that the person will be able to see the doctor. Now this professor, aged professor, retiring by 70, said, my father, and I quote him now, my father was a victim of this problem. He said, my father, his father, he said the father was asthmatic. And the man would have to travel for 3 days just to see his consultant. If his appointment is Friday, he would travel on Thursday. Then, so that at least by 6, he will be in the hospital by Friday morning. And before they look for the case notes and eventually see a doctor, maybe they will finish by 5. And the man will not be able to travel back. Then the man will still sleep over on Friday again until Saturday, then go back to his house. Now this man that gave this lecture, you can imagine how important it is in his heart that for you to give your last lecture, as it were, to bow out of service. And that was all he wanted us to know. The echoes of the unheard, the shadows of the unseen, and a chest of treasure. He said to us that day, he said, while I was serving, my poor father died. Said he was serving, he finished as a medical doctor, the training, he went for service, and then they telegraphed him that the father was critically ill, he should be coming home. Before he got home, the man died. He said the same year, because the mother could not bear it because of their closeness, the wife too died, the mother too died. So he became an orphan within a year. Thank God for grace. The man still retired as a professor of medicine, but the parents were not there to actually enjoy all they have labored for. Possibly not because God wanted it to be like that. Possibly because of just this bureaucracy that we are not ready to challenge and improve on. Hallelujah. And I just thought about it. If in medicine, a professor, where we had the VC sitting and all that, the DVC and the top officials, he wanted them to know that it is high time, if he's going to say one last word before he bows out, it is high time that we embrace technology and media. It is high time we improve our services with all these things that are there for the taking. Then how much more the church? And I want to thank God again for the leadership of this ministry that has started good, that at this point in time, we should discuss a topic like this. That's a professor of medicine. Now as ministers, they want us to consider how we can improve our work, how we can be more productive, how we can do so much with little energy, in less time, and with less stress. Some of us are doing it, but it's cumbersome, and there is actually a way we could improve on this with all the things that we carry in our hands that we have not even exhausted. And I want us to know that it is a word in time. If I heard that on Thursday, and now we are discussing it together in this place, how we can improve, I want us to open our hearts, and I'm trusting that God is going to speak to us in the name of Jesus. Now, when we talk about optimizing technology and media as a minister, we are not saying that we should develop technology ourselves. We are not saying that we should invent something. We are saying that there is something that exists that we can take advantage of, that we can optimize, and that's why we are talking about optimization. Now, some point in time, some churches were tech-frenzied. They don't like technology, or they feel it's not for them and all that. But the pandemic has forced every church or every minister to be internet compliant, and we could not help it. And I want to see it as God's wake-up call to us, that the technology is not as bad as we have marked it. You know, in Acts chapter 8, we can see from that place that there was need for a persecution for the early disciples to be scattered and for churches to, you know, to spread. And maybe this is one of the advantages of this COVID, that God will wake up his church to embrace the technology and take advantage of it, because I believe it is God that is behind it. Technology is wisdom, is innovation, and I believe God is the master builder. Amen? Now, some of us might say, well, I don't like it, or I'm not an internet or technology person, or this, anything we might say. I want to say to us that I think that might be hypocritical, because whether we like it or not, we are in a stream that we cannot resist. At some point in time, it was oral tradition. People would tell stories with their mouth. It was still this innovation that moved us from oral tradition to books. And it didn't even start with books. It started with handwriting. And from that, we moved to press printing. And at some point, it was even like a crime to even print things on material. Thank God for people like Martin Luther King that, you know, he used it a lot in Europe, sending tracts and all that. Even at that time when it was seen like to print something is immoral. At some point, this is seen as devil's box, maybe because it's black. And these ones too, they are seen as devil's box, the PA system. And we were against it because, let's do it the way we used to do it before. Well, thank God for people like Billy Graham that went to the television and all that, cable and all that, and we saw the number of people who was able to bring it to the kingdom. So what I'm saying in essence is this: the things we criticize today, or the things we have embraced today, they were things we criticized or we rejected in time past. And that can tell us something. Wisdom will tell us that the things we are criticizing today might be the thing that will be what we are going to embrace tomorrow. Because the ones we are using today, some of us never believed we are actually going to accept them, or we are actually going to use them. But before I go too far into why we are considering this topic, that's potential for us to discuss the benefits, let me talk about the challenges. Because this might be why some of us might block our mind and be like, "Nkatan so you only work." So let me, in fact, highlight some of the challenges I've seen as a church that we might have with respect to technology and media. Then from there, we can come back to why this topic. I'm sorry, I improved on this material after I submitted it. So that part of challenges is not in this material. So I just listed them out here. So if you want to judge, we might judge that. Number one is lack of interest. The first challenge to embracing media and technology is lack of interest. Even if it is free, some of us will never embrace it. You know, that's why scripture says, I'm paraphrasing now, that there is no price that is in the hand of, don't let me say that, for wisdom, because it doesn't have a heart for it. So when we don't have act for something, if we are not possibly inclined to something, even if it is free, and that is why some of us can have smartphones and be like, "Me okay, low, can you back on you?" And all that. They will put it back in our bag. So it's not as if we cannot afford it, but we are not just interested in it. So that is the first challenge. Number two, I want to talk about poverty or insufficient resources. Some of us feel, if I'm using a smartphone and all that, how will I be able to afford data and all that? And I want to say to us that Nigeria is still one of the cheapest places to get data. I've compared the prices of data all over the world, and I see that it is still relatively cheaper in Nigeria. And with 150 naira, you can actually, at least I know for MTN, you can actually be on WhatsApp for a whole month, 150 naira. The only thing you might not be able to do, you might not be able to call, do WhatsApp call or call outside the country. But with 250 naira, you will read messages, you will reply to messages, you will be updated for 30 days. If we divide 150 by 30, that is like maybe 5 naira per day. So that means money might not actually be the issue. That is an information for somebody that you can actually 247 a whole month, 150 naira. And it's just a text away. They will not even charge you. Just send one to 131, and then they give you WhatsApp access. That's WhatsApp only. You might not be able to access Facebook and all that, but WhatsApp only. So that means you can send reports, you can receive reports, you can chat people up, you can read the news, you can check the passwords forum and all that with 150 naira in a month. So we don't need to think about 1,005. We don't need to think about 3,000. We don't need to think about people buying gig. Number three, another thing is low level of education. Let's talk about illiteracy. I know for a lot of us that were registered here today, we registered online. And I'm imagining a church, and maybe some of our pastors must have talked about it, that shame to ekwa rugbolo and church me, one call my fill form online. That is another challenge. The old woman does not even have email address, not to talk of smartphone. And there are some of our churches that 80% of the membership are in that age group. That might be another challenge, that people cannot use this. I know for some churches, the pastor had to collect their details, and the pastor feed for everybody. All right, so the level of education is another thing, and our church composition. Number four challenge that I've seen here is lack of determination. Lack of determination. I've seen that if we are determined that this thing, I'm going to open my heart towards it, I'm going to embrace it, it is doable, and it is possible if we are determined. Some of what our parents are doing today, one of my friends called me and was telling me that our 80-year-old grandma uses WhatsApp like anything, that she does video call, 80-year-old. Actually, no wonder they say that when there is a will, there will be a way. So it's possible. Some of the things, I see some of our grandmothers sending voice notes. Maybe 2 years ago, they were not doing that. But maybe one or two other times, they just called a younger person, "Bawo le se man se voice notes," you know, and then they taught them, and now they use it. So that means if we decide, "Elene na bawo le se man se," then that means we can do it. There is this popular artificial intelligence that some people use, virtual assistant, called Alexa. If a blind person could operate phone successfully, and the man we just, or the woman we just say, "Alexa, call me Pastor Dapo," and pew, Pastor Dapo is being called. And then the man, without having to see anything, is making a call. There used to be a woman, or there is a woman, because she's not late, that comes to the head office. Anytime she's around, she cannot see, but in that state, she has gone to an institution. In that state, she calls. If she's with Daddy Gio, and Daddy Gio says, and the woman will bring out her phone. She cannot see. And she will call whosoever she wants to call. I have witnesses here. She will call whosoever she wants to call. She's not even using a smartphone, just a normal phone. They have a way. When one part of you or of your organ is deficient, there is a way the other ones will become enhanced, maybe better. So there is a way they organize their life around it, such that even the places they work, they don't need anybody to take them to toilet. They don't need anybody to take them to any place they are familiar with. They will go and come back safely. And this woman will come to secretariat, go back home without anybody holding her. And the woman will press the phone and call anybody. Just mention the name. As long as it's on her phone, she's not even using Alexa. She's not using artificial intelligence. She will call. She knows how she has stored everything. She'll just be pressing it like this. Press it like this. Press it like this. And then send, call. And then the thing will be ringing and she will not miss her call. So when we are determined, there's nothing that is impossible. And number five thing I want to see as a challenge is the ancient landmark, Baila Shemanshe. Some of us resisted it. We didn't want us to move from the old paper that we used to use to fill our reports and then do electronic reports and all that. But now we are seeing the advantages. Some of the paper reports, we even be lost in transit. And some of them, okay, you want your zonal pastor to give a feedback on a report. Today is the Sunday. And the report is not getting to the zonal pastor until 3 months after. Because it's until the area pastor comes to your church, you will compile the report for three. What is the essence of a feedback on a service that happened like 2 months ago? Well, maybe the advice will not be necessary. But unlike what we are doing today, you can get your feedback immediately, within 5 minutes. And then the man doesn't have to carry paper around. And then before he gets to the zonal pastor will now bring it to Pastor Naomi in the secretariat, and he will sign, comment on everything. And then they will come and carry it again. Then the zonal pastor will go and give it back to the area pastor. The area pastor will go and give it back to the pastor. And the pastor will now finally see the final copy. And we have been doing that over the time. Okay, so the ancient landmark, the same thing is what this old man said made him to lose his father. Egbudo wa by 6 a.m. And the man will have to travel for 3 days just to see a consultant that may not last more than 1 hour. The ancient landmark, we don't want to challenge the status quo. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. You know, with it, recently I saw a viral post that somebody was saying, please, oh, let us pray. Oh, now, people are no more carrying their Bibles to church. It is phone they are taking to church. Let us pray. Oh, it is the devil that wants to take the Bible away. I laughed. How would the devil take the Bible away? When on the phone, I have like 10 Bibles, concordance, and all that. How many will I carry if I want to carry? So, as I'm coming to church, or carry notes. And some of us, though we have all those things on our phone, because we don't want the Bible to perish, we still carry our big Bibles. The Lord will help us. So we still carry them. Though on our iPad, we have like 5 Bibles. We have concordance. We have our notepad. In fact, we don't need a pen. You have it still on your iPad. But come on, give me a Bible. Then all of us will still carry it. Okay, I brought my Bible to this place. The ancient landmark. We don't want to challenge the status quo. Just want it to continue to go that way. Now, some people criticized it sometimes ago. They said, Shegugwe, thank God, Krishna, le falasi. Tolomba, bayin, soro. We can highlight, sir. We can highlight even in different colors. I can make this one purple, make the next one red, and make this one yellow. We can highlight, and it can be saved that way. There are lots we can do. We just don't have to be frenzied about it. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. So why are we talking about this topic as a church? I want to quote a statistic from Omniscore. It says 2.5 billion people actively use Facebook in a month. 2.5 billion. Instagram has over 1 billion monthly active users. Snapchat, 360 million. And Twitter boasts of over 300 million active users every month. Now, what are the implications? Number one, technology is relatively cheaper. Just consider when we started sharing messages through WhatsApp. As compared to when we were printing for everybody, you will have to pick a bike. Some people will bring their car from campus. Mufelogba message for the month. Mufelogba outline. Mufelogba outline. And then they will come to the secretariat and come and take outline. And they will spend maybe 500 naira. Well, we can't even quantify the time, the precious time, academics, professors, coming to come and pick something that actually the cost of printing might be like 100 naira. It's not even worth it. It's not a good investment. Spending 1,000 to go and pick 100 naira. Not to even, put value on their time. But now it's no longer like that. So it's relatively cheaper. Let's compare when we wanted to call people outside the country and we have to, hey, wala ina ni kama paralo yibo, wala ko ina, no man won. Oh man won. But now with WhatsApp, they will not even charge you anything. You only need a good network. Steal your subscription and then you can talk with your people outside the country for 3 hours. So that's why I'm saying it's even relatively cheaper. Number two, why are we talking about this? Because we can actually reach more people for God with the gospel. The transportation barrier and the distance barrier will be eliminated. Where you will never get to, your message, your material can get there, even in a few seconds. That is why some of us send monthly broadcasts, messages, exhortation, every month. We just send it out and we just one click. The thing will go. So distance has been removed. Transportation cost has been removed. And, what are we saying? In essence, we can reach more people. We can decide to be writing tracts that way and be sharing it instead of the junks that we read. Number three, why are we talking about this? Because technology is actually faster. We can communicate with people in other continents and get feedback in seconds. You can send a mail I could remember some of our fathers share their love story with us. And they would tell us that when they were dating, they would send notes. And I think recently one of them said he kept all the love messages they were sending to them. I think it was Pastor Guriji. He said he kept, you know, recently was checking and he saw some of the love notes he wrote to the wife and some of, that the wife wrote to him, you know. But when you send it, maybe you wait for like 1 month before I want to arrive. But now we can do it like almost immediately. I'm hearing you, you are hearing me, and all the love we want to send, we are sending it immediately. Instead of, you got him one last month, machine drew the play, machine to ask for another one. So that means your love was slow. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Number four, it gives publicity. People that have never met us physically can get to be blessed with our ministry and our gifts. There are many people that have been followed on Facebook, on YouTube, that physically it would have been impossible to see them. But we know what their gift is, we know what their calling is, and people are being blessed by it. So you could actually reach more people, and people can get to know us, the God's grace upon our life, and even without having to see us in person. Number five, the internet never forgets. So it preserves. It preserves. You know, in the time past, some Roman emperor, one of them is Diocletian, they burnt Bible. But how many of our phones are they going to burn now? And if they burn them, by the time I buy another one tomorrow, then I can download everything again. Then you come and take that one and burn it again. Then I will download it. Because you cannot clear the cloud. That's why we say that the internet will never forget. And do you know that every one of us, that we have a Gmail account, and there's no way you use an Android phone without having a Gmail account. Do you know that you have about, I think, 2 gig or 10 gig? 10 gig. Cloud drive that you can actually back up all your documents. And some of us will never use it. Some of us are taking jaloju. You never even knew that they gave it to you. And we carry hard drive around and say, I'm so flash me no. Google documents meet balo. It doesn't have to happen. When with your Gmail account, you can back up everything, your birth certificate, you can scan all of them and put them in the cloud. And the internet will never forget to preserve them for you. And anywhere you are going, you don't need to be carrying them around. Just say, let me just connect my phone, then we print. And I go instead of carrying the hard copy around. Number six, why are we talking about this? Well, if money is the motive, it can make us richer. There is such a thing that is called internet marketing. There is such a thing that is called traffic bargaining for websites. If about 2,000 people visit your website or 10,000 people visit your website, some people will bring money to you and negotiate with you that they want to place adverts on your website just because they know that when those people are coming for your content, they can easily see their adverts. And you can make a lot of money doing that. Do we know that as academics, some of us can even put our lecture notes, our materials on YouTube? There is one woman that I follow. She teaches in one of these private universities, and all I learn from her is econometrics. Our YouTube link is Crunch Econometrics. And that's, so she knows how to do this thing. She'll make YouTube videos like 30 minutes, 40 minutes on software and applications and all that. And people are paying her for that. So when I go there because I want to learn, I'm not going there because I love her or I want them to pay her. I'm going there for her content. But the fact that I'm going there, she's negotiating with my own presence. And she's telling somebody that 10,000 people visit my website and this is how much I want to take if you want to put an advert. So if money is the motive, that we can do it for ministry too. If you have good content, if God has inspired you, if you have written a book and all that, you can put it there. You can do short videos. One of our fathers is doing something recently, as you know, money brief. Whatever you think God has given to you, you can put it together and then God can bless you through it. Number seven now. It can improve our message quality. There are some topics that when they give it to you, you are even wondering, how do I start? Then the internet might help you. Not that you go and copy and paste for us, but you could actually type the same topic on the internet and you have ideas. Okay, how has this person preached it? Oh, this one took it this way. Okay, this one took it this way. Okay. Then I know how to go about it. So that means we can become more efficient. We can become more effective. That means our quality, you know, you might not be able to afford Dick's study Bible and all that, but you can type commentary on the internet and it will give you what thousands of people have said about that one verse. And you can actually, by the time you are finished preaching, they will be like, oh. And they didn't know that the internet assisted you. And why not? The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. So that means we can use study Bible, we can use concordance, we can use references, we can get ideas, and that means we can improve our messages. Number 8, better policies and data-driven decisions can be made. And I'm going to spend more time on this because, well, maybe because I work with data and I think I love it. Better decisions. Some of the decisions we take, they are out of zeal. They are not informed. Zeal without knowledge. Imagine somebody talked about markets recently that even the marketers are using the same thing. There is such a thing that is called Google Analytics. Some of you might not know that that is what is happening. It's artificial intelligence. Maybe you were just browsing just tips to early living. Just type it on Google. The next time you are coming, they will bombard you. Different sites will bombard you with related articles on that thing you checked last. It is artificial intelligence. Because you typed tips on early living, then the machine is telling them that this person is actually looking for related materials and he often live healthy. So the next thing you are seeing, nobody will tell you. You just discover that, shame. Some of us have said it before. Talo so far people equipment one. And you're like, ajela on people you. Ba no shame equipment one one. They know. Once you type it once, you know, somebody is analyzing it at back end, just like that Koya said. And then they will feed you more than enough. You don't need to search for it anymore. Just type it once, then everything will just be coming. The next time you open, you just see it there. Now, that is what some people are using to grow their brand and to make more money to improve their business. Do you know as a church we can use it? Now, how does it apply to a church? Let me give us an instance. You are pastoring a church, and for those of us that have read this book by Rick Warren that talks about purpose-driven church, he told us in that particular book that one of the things they did that made their church to grow was that they did a survey when they got to the place. They met people. They moved from house to house. Now, that was at their own level. We can make it better now. Then they visited houses, they met people, and there's something we call demography. So they took the demography of the place. Oh, other kind of people here, a lot of them, only share one. Other kind of people here, a lot of them, they are students. Do you know that if we have data like that, like the demography of where our church is located, it can help us to make informed decisions about the type of programs you'll be doing. If, for instance, the people around your area, you have been asked to pastor a church on campus, and the people around your area are academics now, it would be wrong for you to put program and say, Demigoro Ja prayer, and put it for 9 to 12. They will be in their office. So you have that zeal, but it's not going to produce. And that's why I'm talking about effectiveness. If you have this information about the demography of people around you, and you know that a lot of them are yellow jab, by the time you call Bible study, you won't see them. But you might want to reconsider bringing your Bible study to early in the morning. Kanto losoja. And then they can peacefully attend the Bible study. I know that, okay, they can stay in market as long as they want. Now, this, what we are saying, can easily be done with the internet. And that is why we call it demography. Just, okay, the people around here, some of us can just survey, but of course, we'll not be accurate. But these are things that can actually, so I don't want us to look at it like, oh, how does this improve my church? Or how does this improve me as a minister? So getting the demography, the age group of the people. For instance, now, you discover that majority of people around this place are young people. Then you might be informed that the type of program you should be doing might be how they will pass their exam, having seminars on how to choose wisely and all that. If you like, go and do how to retire very soon or how to retire in good health. So we just make a lot of decisions without that are not intentional. You know, that I said we can make, you know, better policies and data-driven decision. And number 9 is not in this place. I want to say that another advantage is in some excruciating situations, their situation, the internet may bail our bailout. Sometimes some of us are defamed, and you are thinking, how can I correct this? Kotologina. Then we run to Facebook. Sometimes they steal our phone, and the next thing we do is tell your spouse, "Eba mi go sori Facebook o, what is for me lo? Come out for any kakan lowo." But you say you didn't like technology. So why did he do that? So sometimes in expressing situation, in their needs, it will be something that will bail us out. So they stole your phone. You want to raise a disclaimer on time and tell people, if anybody contacts you on my list, my phone has been stolen. I'm not the one behind it. I will let you know when I get a new phone. And by the time you put it on Facebook, please kindly help me share. Before you know it, 1,000 people have seen it just within a few minutes. How many people would you call? I say, "Jo, first of all, you know, phone you so no. Turn back when you're mad down." Okay. Then you call the number 2. "Jo, first of all, you know, phone you so no. Turn back when you're mad down." How many people would you call? So what are we saying in essence? We are saying that when we embrace technology, we can improve our effectiveness. And what do we mean by effectiveness? We can increase our outcome by doing things differently. That's effectiveness, improving your outcome by doing things differently. And we are saying that we can improve our efficiency. What is efficiency? That means we can get things done cheaper, faster, easier, and better. At the end of the day, you will achieve more. One of our mothers met me just before we started this program, very early in the morning. And she said, Dapo, shani register ni, money mommy at register. You don't get it. Because we are used to coming. When we come, you know, we kill there. And then Pastor Aruya will carry the thing. Make sure that before it goes back to Ibadan, it comes to secretariat, come and drop them for us. And then they give us sleep. And then all of us will register. And your name, your phone number, and then a queue. And we can stay first 1 hour. We call it registration. Today now, we came. And I can assure you that as many people that are here, we have your email address, we have your phone number, we have the number of participants from every church, we have everything printed on one page per church, such that we can just give you and you can just stick. Just imagine the number of time we saved. You having to come and, oh yeah, and you number one, and you number two, number three, list the church leader, Ejekawa, 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 ah, you put the list the house of transformation, and then we do all that, say registration 1 hour. So that means we can, you know, do things better, better outcome, cheaper outcome, faster, and the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. So now let's talk about, now let me still tell us why we are talking about making informed decision. I would cite two other examples, practical examples among us. Recently, our mother contacted me that she needed data on the pastors that are in the senior citizen group. By the time I finished collecting the data, the pastors, you know, we don't have a database for all our members, which is one of the things I may suggest that we think about working on. But we are for pastors. By the time I was done, it was, the intent was to get it across to her. But what we saw was alarming, and I had to copy that the GEO, that so that you can know, sir, the number of the pastors that will be retiring in the next 10 years. You know, sometimes we can just get busy and we'll not know. Say, ah, should Saturday night, ah, don't man, well, it's very tired. But now, by the time I was collecting and I saw the percentage of current pastors that will be retiring in the next 10 years, I said, Daddy, you might need this. Now, what will happen from that? Some better decisions, right? During the COVID, we did some analysis. And look, all these things we have not been able to do when we're carrying paper around, though. Because I would like to carry one church, about 70 churches. Will I put all of them and say, okay, B, 17 in one, Lele, 20 Lele, 20 Lele, my calculator. When with just one command on Excel, I can tell you the number of children gave birth to last month in Christ's way, and I can tell you the number of people that died in the whole of Christ's way last month, and I can tell you the number of people that attended Bible study in the whole of Christ's way. Just in 1 second, just let me open my system, then I will tell you. Okay, in all of Christ's way, 1,200 attended our Bible study. Okay, this is the percentage of people attending Bible study in our church. This is the percentage of workers attending Bible study in our church. And this is the total number of people that died in Christ's way. This is the total number of babies we have in Christ's way. So sometimes, that means in the next few years, by the time we build that data, somebody can come and do research on our church. And say, okay, we want to look at how biological growth is influencing their growth. Maybe the number of people that are giving birth to you, and then the total growth in the church, they can make a lot of senses from the data, which carrying paper around will not have helped us to achieve. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. So how do we optimize technology and media? Number one, be interested. We cannot do ministry today the way it was done in 1930. So we have to be interested. And that is the essence. That's what I've been saying since, that we must be interested in this thing. Number two, we have to be strategic. I talked about that recently. We have to be strategic. If we are not taking decisions based on data, then we might just be running. And just like Paul said, we might just be beating the air because we are not strategic. Do you know that though we have not been able, when you go to these mountains, the people you see in such prayer are these old people, right? And the market women. Do you know that somebody recently, I was hearing it during Pastor Goke's wedding. I was hearing this recently. The largest prayer move now, do you know, is online. And what the old people have not been able to do, what the prophets, they have not been able to bring the young people to the mountain, you know, except their parents. They have not been able to bring them. Do you know that now, there is this popular one, maybe I should not say the name because it is being recorded, that millions, thousands of people every morning, young people, attend the prayer 1 hour. And they call it, maybe I should say it, New Season Prophetic Prayers and Declaration, NSPD, PPD. It's a prayer move. And you will see, sometimes you just see status and you see people upload and like, enisokini, bonus is going on. You now discover that that's what they had in the morning prayer. And somebody has successfully, through technology, YouTube and Facebook, has been able to move a lot of young people to pray 1 hour every morning. If we stay here and carry bell and say, oh, good, oh, well, like alone now, oh, you can watch the prayer. Well, we keep ringing the bell. When we are talking about being strategic, just imagine the people that do early morning cry. Well, it might not be right for us to criticize them if we are not also doing anything to make it better. But imagine somebody that says, Egbon Oluwa, now I heard Egbon Oluwa, but on Oluwa, yekoto sotan, what they be getting here. Now, do I have a complete message to be converted? And the person will have gone around the community, only Moloshe early morning cry. Early morning cry, Molo evangelize, bro. It's not like you got a, you actually achieved anything. But at least God is using you. And if the rest of us did not actually go to do it, you are still better than us. It was when some people saw that they called and encouraged them, Emma Drew Soju Kan. Can you see now? So complete the message here. Then after like 1 hour, you can change the location. At least what got them. By the time you really deliver the message, Egbon Oluwa le mi gbo igba te gba window mi koja ko to so message tan ti de window elomi iyen ko yen gbo ke ka Egbon Oluwa bo gbo message ko mo ke to so bo. So we need to be strategic. Number 3, we need to develop quality content, because we can actually abuse this, and that is one of the challenges why some people don't like the media. Pe o man distract eyan ta ba wo phone igba ni mo ma ri pe nikan send ile nikan send ile. Yet we need to improve the content. If we have good content, all right, it would be embarrassing to send something on the social media and then we are correcting grammar and all that. So if you can improve your content, if you can be diligent, it's going to help. Number 4, we need to be consistent. If you say we want to be doing this thing, then we must be doing it. Because something about internet and media is, once we know that the time is 6 to 7, you don't have all the flexibility to be changing it. Once you do that, I miss it today, I miss it tomorrow, then this guy is not serious. I'm not going to follow you anymore. So we need to be consistent. Now, at this point, let me challenge us on our Mix LR radio station. Do you know that the Iyelopolopo we listen to, and that day we do it on FM, some of us are not listening to radio anymore. But do you know that we can listen to that same Yelopolopo every day on our MixLR? The same recording, the same effort, the same way they took it to Orisun, we can put on our internet in the office and play. And people can know all over Christ, I go by Lelego Yelopolopo in MixLR. It's not costing us anything, but we didn't think about it. And we are not doing it. And we are wasting resources. We take it every week to Orisun and we'll bring it back. Every week, and people outside could actually use the internet, so we can engage that radio station we have and broadcast it every day. Every day. If I miss Monday, my bone Tuesday. And for your information, how much do we need to pay? We already subscribed for the channel. So it might even be at no cost, because we don't have to pay again. It's your channel. You can upload as you want. So what are the practical steps? As I bring this, as I tie it together, we must understand that Christway is becoming a digital church. And that is why we are training us that we need to position ourselves. Now, we have e-reports. That's part of Christway becoming a cyber church. Now we have virtual pastors meeting. And sometimes we might not meet for four months physically. And yet we are having our meeting. Now we have e-registration, like we did for this program. So that means gradually we are becoming a cyber church. So what do we need to do? And how can we improve our personal ministry and the church at large? Number one, I just put some things. There are practical things that we can do. Number one, as a minister, like I said, engage your Google Drive. Explore conference calling. Let me first say something about conference calling again and tell you another progression. Before, when we want to do conference call, you will call the first person and you wait for the person to pick and tell the person, hey, hold on. Hey, can you call me? How many of you experienced that? You have done conference call in the past. You will call. First one, I will call. And sometimes it can be frustrating. When you now say, "Enye odon," "Enye kipe," the second person, "Tobati kipe nye bai." Oh my, "Ele yima court." Oh, it's boko koko tell you to. But do you know now, with a broadcast list, with just send, you will call everybody, and the phone will ring at the same time. So that means, if I want to have council meeting, I can create a broker list and put all my council members there, and just that red button, call. All of them, their phone will ring simultaneously, all of them at the same time. And then we can start our meeting. What about that? So that's why I say we should explore conference calling and meeting. Let us explore broadcast messaging. Let us explore bulk SMS. As a minister now, you might want to send a new month message to people. And then you can even time it. You can tell the internet and say, send this message when it is 8 a.m. Monday morning. And you don't need to check your phone anymore. And it will help you to send it once it is 8 a.m. The time you set there, the thing will be sent. Let's explore Facebook live video. Let's explore calendar and other applications. Now, as a church, what can we do as a church? I believe you can just follow. Can we still hear me? Hello? Okay. We are blessed. As a church, what can we do? We can empower every church to have at least a graphic designer and use software like Microsoft Office. Amen. Sorry, please, can you still hear me from the other side? So that means if you employ somebody with in our church, that means we can make up our mind from this conference that we are going to make sure that all our messages are recorded. It is possible. All it will cost us is to get a laptop, get Adobe Audition installed on it, then get a cable, 150 naira, from the Awusa, and then connect it to your mixer, and you can record all messages. By God's grace, I've been in House of Transformation for the last 7 years, and today I can tell you that we have over 300 recorded messages. Now that means if you want to start dishing it out online, that means we can go a whole year not repeating any message, and it was effortless. Just getting a cable of 150 naira, a dedicated laptop, and we made sure in the last 7 years that every message was recorded. So if you can do that in a local church, that means it's doable. So I want to challenge us as pastors. I believe it is part of valuing the grace of God upon our life that we don't preach any message and allow it to be a waste, quote and unquote. See it that I don't know how much God is going to move on me or move through me today, such that if I preach this message without recording it, it might pain me. I don't know if it has happened to you before. You preach a powerful message beyond what you prepared for, and somebody is coming to you after the message, "Pastor, shall I record it? Like, I'm too late to preach." It will never be the same. So you must value the grace of God, the anointing of God upon your life, to ensure that you don't preach any message without it getting recorded, because sometimes it's beyond your preparation. And that is how you can save it. That experience can be kept with you for life. As a ministry, let me just leave that. I talked about a Gmail account, WhatsApp group for church, acquire a television, a projector, a laptop. Let me talk about the ministry as I bring it to a close. As a ministry, I want to challenge us that we should engage our online radio. Let's get a user-friendly and modern website. Let's employ a content developer. I'm privileged to know that very soon we are going to have our devotional. How sweet will it be if we can get the electronic copy and every morning people can share, you know, can receive a daily load of our devotional that we are going to start using by next year. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. We have a studio there that we can optimize. We can actually create a roster and be doing programs, health talks. Let's invite all these doctors to come and do health talks on our Christway Micellar Radio. This particular time, Tuesday is for health, Wednesday is for sports, Saturday is for hymns. So if you connect on Sunday night, you'll just be listening to fine old hymns. Do we love that? It's possible. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say this as I bring it to a close. Like I said when I was starting, that the things we are using now were once upon a time immoral or criticized, devil's box. If this is a devil's box, we all put it in our bags. We carry it around. One thing I've seen about all this is the early adopters, they reap the more. People that get to know about it and start on time, they get most of the benefits. And I'm going to end by telling us two serious stories that we can learn from as I leave this place. About 11 or 12 years ago, I met our general overseer. At that time, when I saw that God was tilting me towards this side of ministry, then I approached him in front of the secretariat. I'm not sure we have built this new building then in Iredakpo. I said, "Daddy, what is your greatest regret in ministry?" I wanted to know his own before me I start. That was why I said when I knew that God was tilting me towards this side. I said, "What is your greatest ministry in ministry? Your greatest regret in ministry? What would you have loved to do again if you had the power?" And I won't forget that day. I'm talking about 11 or 12 years ago. Then he told me, he said, "Not having my messages recorded." He said, "A lot of the messages I've preached, they are just in books." He said, it pained him that he didn't have them recorded. Me, I was just starting, and I held on to that. And that is part of the reasons why I said, it's the last 7 years that I've been pastoring a church, and made sure that no message went to record it. It was informed by his own, so to speak, regrets, what he wished he did better. And let me say this second pathetic story. Somebody called us about 2 months ago, called Sister Joker to be specific. And the person said, "I'm so person, I'm calling you from, the place is in the north." And she said, the man said, he's a young minister. The man said, "Please, can I have all the materials of Pastor Rioke? And let me know the value I'm going to pay for them. And I want it sent to me in the north." I was beside her when she was revisiting the call. And then I asked her to ask the person, how did he get to know about us? And the man mentioned the name of one of our young pastors. He said it is Pastor Stephen in Ibadan that gave him the number of Sister Joke to call Sister Joke for materials. Do you know what we said? We said we'll get back to him. See, today we did not get back to him. You know why? Because we looked at the bookshelf. We looked at the bookshelf and how many books of Daddy Joe do we have? This person is asking for all his materials. Then we thought about sending him our message, the monthly message material. Then we thought about it, what of copyright? If this guy packages everything and sells them as book, how are we going to say our lani? So we couldn't send the ones that were not published because there was no copyright. We said we'll get back, but we didn't get back. Can we bow our heads as we pray? Father, we thank you. We pray that we'll receive grace in Jesus' precious name.